You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
New research illustrates the severe mental and physical toll that the COVID-19 pandemic had on community support workers in Aotearoa. The study was conducted by AUT researchers who collaborated with union representatives from ETU and PSA to reveal the huge psychosocial and physical impacts on social support workers. Later today, the researchers will meet with the Minister of Health, Andrew Little, to seek commitments to take crucial action on its recommendations. To hear more about this, I spoke to Associate Professor Catherine Ravenswood from AUT.
One of the key things that the pandemic really exacerbated was the lack of regard for these workers. And so the policy that was put out to cover the entire workforce and the health workforce really was ignorance of what community support workers do in their day-to-day jobs. And so what that meant was that with those existing poor conditions, it was worsened because the things that were meant to support essential workers often didn't really apply or acknowledge the context of community support work.
And from what you've heard from people that work in the sector, how did these challenges impact them both physically and mentally?
I think physically it was just exhausting. So support workers had to kind of work around multiple ways to try and get information about how to keep themselves and their clients safe. And they couldn't get clear and direct information from either their employers or even from the Ministry of Health. And so that added a huge amount of workload into their usual job. And then emotionally, that meant that they were isolated, not just in that sense of working by themselves in people's homes, but that lack of communication and lack of clear guidelines that fit their work added to that mental sense of isolation and that no one really cares or supports them in their job. And when we think back to the beginning of the pandemic, when no one knew what was happening or what was ahead, these workers were really out there at the front. They were sometimes the only people that members of our society who need support in their homes would see from day to day. And while some got slightly more visibility as essential workers, they really were, as a workforce, forgotten. They were kind of like the essential worker that almost didn't exist in the public eye.
Is this because people really don't seem to understand the mahi that goes into working in a field like this?
Absolutely. I think you're right. We still have this really gendered idea that home and community support is women doing housework for quite mobile elderly people and just doing it to earn their pocket money. But this mahi, I mean, as the research team, we were really in awe of how complex this work is. Yes, sometimes it is doing a little bit of housework for someone, but mostly as a bare minimum, it will be helping someone to get dressed, to get showered, to get ready for their day, and the reverse at the end of the day. But often it is a lot more complex than that. Things like potentially changing catheters and peg feed tubes. Those are tubes that go straight into your stomach, I think. They know much more than we do. And also, you know, from within one day you might be visiting six or more clients. You could, for example, be providing support to a child under three in their family, to an elderly person with early dementia, to someone with high needs disability support. And you have to be able to shift how you work and how you deal with each person and provide quite different type of care and support several times or multiple times throughout the day. So yes, I don't think the policymakers and potentially even the employers and definitely not society doesn't understand what this mahi actually is.
And as you said, it is a woman-dominated field. Do you think this contributes to how they're viewed and how they're treated?
Yes, there's no doubt. And you know what, we saw that several years ago with the pay equity settlement. And so there's a court case saying that the conditions of this workforce are based on historic gender discrimination. I guess the other things that really factor in here is that it's essentially outsourced. So government agencies, including the Ministry of Health, contract out this work to private providers. And it goes through several layers from the government agency sometimes to strict health boards and then to private providers. And so that also means that it's harder for these workers to get their voice heard by the funders at the top because of that complicated relationship from funding through to outsourcing and to the worker.
And one of the goals for the community support workforce is a thriving sector that really acknowledges and upholds principles of te tiriti. What would this look like in practice?
In practice, I think it would be, the profit motive would be taken out of the sector, and it would really focus on well-being and a holistic well-being, and for Māori workers and members of our society based around concepts related to hau ora, where we're looking at the whole person who is receiving support, their whānau and the community that they sit within, and also respecting the whole holistic well-being of the support worker who works with them. So really empowering both the people who receive support and the workers who provide it to them.
And we'll be speaking to Andrew Little this time tomorrow on BFM. What are some kinds of things that you really think he needs to hear?
I think that Minister Little needs to stop and listen to the workers' voice. The knowledge that they have of the work that they do is not being heard. It's not being incorporated into policy. And I think he really needs to listen to the ideas of resourcing the sector on a national basis so that it really can provide that kind of support, which is support to thriving communities, that's going to make our communities a better place for all of us.
That was Associate Professor Catherine Ravenswood from AUT talking to me about the latest report into the well-being of community support workers in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.